Let me ask you something before we go anywhere today. How much fuel is in your airplane right now? Not on the gauge in gallons, to the number. If you had to answer that on a check ride, out loud to an examiner who's watching your face, could you do it? Because that hesitation, that little pause where you're not quite sure, that's the exact spot where this whole regulation lives. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Pattern, and you're listening to Traffic Pattern. The show where we take one piece of the rulebook, one thing that looks boring on paper, and we turn it into something that keeps you alive on your next flight. Today we're talking about fuel, specifically the Fuel Reserve Rule, Federal Aviation Regulation 91.151, and I promise you by the end of this you're going to plan fuel differently than you did this morning. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into the weeds, a quick word about some folks I genuinely like. Our friends at AviationSoul.com, they make challenge coins for every step of this journey we're all on. For solo, there's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a nice thing to hold something in your hand that marks the day everything changed. Mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Okay. The rule. Here's the actual language, more or less, from the Federal Aviation Administration. Under visual flight rules, you cannot begin a flight unless, considering wind and forecast weather conditions, you have enough fuel to fly to your first point of intended landing, and then assuming normal cruising speed to fly after that for at least 30 minutes during the day or 45 minutes at night. That's it. That's the whole rule. 30 minutes in the daytime, 45 at night. Now, on the surface, that sounds generous. 30 extra minutes, I've got hours in this thing, but I want to show you something, because this regulation is one of the most misunderstood in the entire book, and the way people misunderstand it is exactly the way people run tanks dry. Here's the first trap, that 30 minutes is not 30 minutes of fuel sitting comfortably in your tank when you park, it's 30 minutes measured from your first point of intended landing, which means the regulation assumes you flew your whole planned route, arrived where you said you'd arrive, and then still had 30 minutes left over. But airplanes don't fly the plan, they fly the day. You got a headwind you didn't fully forecast, you got vectored around a Bravo shelf, you climbed twice because of a cloud deck, you leaned a little rich because you were busy. Every one of those things eats into the number, and the reserve, that 30 minutes, is the cushion the regulation carves out precisely so that the difference between the plan and the day doesn't put you into a field. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The reserve is not extra fuel, the reserve is fuel you have already spent. Mentally, it's gone, you do not touch it. The day you touch your reserve is the day you already made a mistake somewhere upstream, and now you're just finding out how big it was. Let me give you a scenario. This is the one I want you to carry with you. It's a beautiful afternoon, you and a buddy launch in a Cessna 172 for 110 nautical mile cross country to grab lunch. The airplane holds, let's say, 53 gallons usable. It burns about 8.5 gallons an hour. On paper, that's over 6 hours of endurance. 6 hours for a flight that's supposed to take a little under an hour each way. What could possibly go wrong? So you don't top the tanks. Why would you? You've got tabs, and the tabs give you plenty. You fly out, you have a great lunch, you take a photo by the airplane. Life is good. On the way home, the wind has shifted, now it's on the nose. 20 knots, your ground speed drops, and that hour flight is now an hour and 20. Then approach is busy, and they hold you south of the airspace for a bit. Then you get to the pattern and there's traffic, so you extend your downwind. And somewhere in all of that, the little pause you had at the beginning, the one where you weren't quite sure how many gallons were actually in the tank, that pause comes due. Nobody in that story did anything dramatic. Nobody flew into a thunderstorm. Nobody busted a Bravo. It was a nice day and a cheeseburger, and that, my friends, is exactly how fuel exhaustion happens. It is quiet. It is a good day. It is good pilots. The National Transportation Safety Board has been telling us this for decades, fuel-related accidents, and the biggest chunk of those is simple fuel exhaustion. Running the tanks dry are almost entirely preventable. There's no weather system you have to outfly. There's no mechanical failure. It is a planning problem and a discipline problem, wearing the costume of an emergency. So, let's talk about how you actually keep yourself out of that story. Practical stuff, things you can do on your next flight. First, stop thinking in gallons and start thinking in time. This is the single biggest shift I try to give my students. Your gauges lie, your fuel totalizer is only as good as the number you fed it. But the clock on the panel does not lie. So before you take the runway, you should know out loud how many hours and minutes of fuel you have on board, not gallons, hours and minutes. And you should know what time your reserve begins. Say it to yourself. I have 3 hours and 10 minutes of fuel. My 30-minute reserve starts at 2 hours and 40 minutes into this flight. I'm on the ground before that. Period. Second, build a personal reserve that's bigger than the regulation. The rule is a floor. It is the legal minimum. It is not a target, and it is certainly not a goal. Most experienced pilots I know fly a personal minimum of 1 hour of fuel in the tanks when they land, day or night, 1 hour, not 30 minutes. That extra buffer is what turns a "we need to divert right now" into a "let's just stop for fuel, no big deal." 1 hour of fuel is the difference between a decision and an emergency. Third, dip the tanks, physically, with a fuel stick or by looking or both. The single most reliable way to know how much fuel you have is to verify it with your own eyes before you fly, and then to know your burn rate cold. Fuel gauges in a lot of our training airplanes are, and I say this with love decorative, the regulation that governs them only requires them to be accurate when they read empty. Let that sink in. The one moment your fuel gauge is legally required to be correct is the moment you have no fuel left, so we do not fly on the gauges. We fly on a known quantity and a known burn and a clock. Fourth, and this is the one people skip, include the wind. The regulation literally says it, considering wind and forecast weather conditions. That phrase is not decoration, it's in the reg because a headwind is the number one thief of fuel reserves in general aviation. When you pull your winds and temperatures aloft forecast, you are not just picking a cruising altitude, you are finding out how much of your reserve the atmosphere is planning to take from you. A 20-knot headwind on a slow airplane can turn a comfortable flight into a fuel-critical one, and the airplane will feel completely normal right up until it isn't. Now let's talk about night, because that 45-minute number is trying to tell you something. Why does the regulation give you an extra 15 minutes after dark? Same airplane? Same fuel burn. The physics didn't change. What changed is your options. At night, if that engine goes quiet because you ran a tank dry, you cannot see the field you were going to glide to. You cannot see the wires. You cannot see the fence. The forgiveness that daylight gives you, the ability to pick a decent spot and put it down, that forgiveness is gone. So the FAA gives you 15 more minutes of fuel as a small down payment against a much larger loss of choices. Honor it, and honestly, at night, I'd tell you to fly that 1 hour personal reserve and not think twice. Let me bring in the airman certification standards for a second, because if you're a student listening, this is going to show up on your check ride, and I want you ready. Under the cross-country planning task, the examiner is looking for you to correctly calculate fuel requirements and to apply the regulatory reserve. But here's what separates the pilot who passes from the pilot who impresses. It's not the arithmetic. Any calculator can do the arithmetic. It's whether you can talk about fuel as a system of decisions. The examiner wants to hear you say, here's my planned burn, here's my reserve, here's my personal minimum, and here's the fuel state at which I've already decided to divert, and here's where I'd divert to. When you brief it like that, before you ever start the engine, you have told the examiner that you're not going to be a statistic. That's what they're actually checking for, not the number. The judgment around the number. And here's the thing about that divert decision. You have to make it on the ground, when you're calm, because you will not make it well in the air. There's a reason fuel exhaustion catches good pilots. When the tanks get low, there's this pull, this quiet little voice that says, I'm almost home, it'd be silly to stop now, I've got enough. That voice is not doing math. That voice is the same hazardous attitude we talk about all the time. The get there-itis, the press on, and the antidote is a number you committed to before you ever left. When nobody was tired, and nobody wanted lunch, and nobody was almost home. Decide your bingo fuel on the ground, write it on your kneeboard, and when you hit it, you go. No debate. Let me give you one more practical takeaway, and this one's simple. Runouts almost never happen because the airplane didn't have enough fuel at the start. They happen because of one of three things. The pilot didn't know how much fuel was actually on board. The pilot didn't account for the wind. Or the pilot burned into the reserve and kept going anyway. That's the whole list. Three failure points. And you can defend against all three before takeoff with a fuel stick, a weather briefing, and a promise to yourself. That's it. That's the defense. So here's what I want you to do on your next flight. Just this. Before you take the runway, put your finger on the fuel selector. Look at your watch and say the number out loud. I have this many hours and minutes. My reserve starts at this time. I am on the ground before then. Make it a ritual. Make it as automatic as flaps and trim and lights, camera, action. Because the pilots who never run a tank dry aren't lucky. They're just the ones who made fuel a decision they finished making before they ever left the ground. The regulation is 91.151. 30 minutes day, 45 at night. But the real rule, the one that keeps you out of the accident report, is the one you write for yourself, and it's a bigger number. Today's fuel figures and the accident trends come from the FAA's regulations and the National Transportation Safety Board's own reporting. And the planning standards are right there in the Airman Certification Standards if you want to read along. If you want to go deeper on any of this, we're at radiohanger.com. Go check your tanks, not the gauge, the tanks. I'll see you back in the pattern.